Hello and welcome to the Brain Palace. I am Aficionados Chris, and I'm joined here by my best friend.
And co-host, of course, Ollie, otherwise known as InvidNinja92, as always.
And today we decided to take a different turn, as we usually do theatrical movies, or I guess in some cases, direct-to-video movies in the future. But today we decided to focus on a TV movie. But not the kind of TV movie you would expect.
It's a TV movie based on the show that we both grew up on throughout most of our younger childhoods, back when the channel known as Cartoon Network actually used to be relatively watchable. God, it feels like it's been, seven, eight years since I last watched that channel? I can't really be sure. At least 6 or 7. It's been a long time, more than half a decade.
I still watch it, because there are some shows on there that I think have proven to be really good, but that's a story for another time, or maybe here, we don't even know. But today's choice, we decided to go with Ed, Edd n Eddy's Big Picture Show, which is the TV movie based on the cartoon of basically the same name. And I'm going to, as always, let Ollie give us a little basic idea of the film itself.
Well, to be fair, I think before we get into the film, I think we should really explain what the show is for those of you who are listening who don't know about the show, because remember, there might be some people who have no idea what the cartoon even is, so I'll let you explain.
That is true. That is true. Good for catching me right there. Well, I guess to describe the show as simple as possible, three kids who essentially have identical names, Ed with two D's, and Eddie, are teenagers who live in a cul-de-sac, and about almost half the series takes place during the summer, where they basically try to scam kids into getting quarters so they can buy their favorite junk food, which is Jawbreakers. And usually the scams don't go over well. They tend to explode in their face and almost never get their little treats at the end. And I think what made the show entertaining for most kids is its visual style and its unique humor. Because the thing about Ed, Edd n Eddy is its style was very rubbery, so it was like as cartoony as a cartoon could be. Like people would stretch out, they would basically defy laws of physics and gravity, and of course their humor was essentially slapstick, but almost to an extreme point. Kind of like a Ren and Stimpy on crack.
I'd say so, but it doesn't quite have the stoner humor aesthetic you'd commonly associate with Nickelodeon shows, stuff like the Angry Beavers or SpongeBob. I know that's a bit difficult to describe, but you can tell the difference in style is subtle, but it is there. The show is very kinetic and always has been with its animation. There's never any moments where you feel it's stilted, because seemingly every single part of the character moves in a ridiculous, as you put it, rubbery way. They always end up in bizarre situations where their heads or arms, legs, or even entire bodies are stuck in metal contraptions, stuck within trees, stuck in the ground, and you can probably make a drinking game about how many times the cul-de-sac just gets completely wrecked throughout the course of the show, which is over 100 episodes, 4 specials, and of course, this particular film.
Yes, and always happens to be fine every other episode. And the funny thing is, if we want to go even deeper, there are more characters than just these three boys. There's the kids they scam, which consist of Rolf, who is the local foreigner, who has his own farm, played by underrated comedian Peter Kalamis, I believe it's pronounced. Also Johnny 2x4, who is probably the only character that has a last name revealed, who has a strange connection with a block of wood, which he calls Plank. Which basically is a piece of wood with a face drawn on it, and only he can hear him. But somehow, this block of wood can somewhat interact as if it's a real thing. It never shows emotion, but it's able to drive a wagon or attack if it needs to. Kind of like a pet. There's also Naz, who is the local girl that all the boys, except for one, have a crush on and all try to woo over. Kevin, who is usually seen around Naz, who's basically like the town bully, lack of a better term, who usually goes with his catchphrase by calling the Eds dorks. There's Sarah, who is Ed's, with the Wendy's younger sister, who is somehow much stronger than every other kid on the block and is a real brat. And her effeminate friend Jimmy, who has braces, and I don't think it's ever been seen.
And is insanely bipolar to boot.
That too. I think that's everyone, if I'm not mistaken.
We're forgetting our main adversaries for the Eds, the Kanker Sisters, who live in a nearby trailer park.
Ah, yes, the Kanker Sisters. Basically, like he's described, they have an attraction to the Eds, but the Eds never show it in return, because quite frankly, they are quite frightening. And as he said, they live in a trailer park, with a supposed mother who is never seen. Really, parents are never really seen in this show. Kind of like most shows of the 90s and early 2000s, where parents are almost virtually unnoticeable.
But in this case, one of the things with this film was, honestly, until you mentioned it, I didn't even think this thing existed. The thing is, ever since I was a kid, I used to be members on forums for Ed and Eddie websites. Yes, I was that sad when I was a child.
Oh my god, me too.
Yeah, essentially what would happen is you'd get news via these forums about new episodes being shown in Britain and America, and, you know, you'd watch with, you know, fervent eyes. I remember when I went round one of my friend's houses because we were super excited about downloading the Valentine's Day special, in which it was the first appearance of their school. Again, we were very sad children, but this was one of the cartoons that I obsessed over as a child. And I didn't think there'd be a movie ever made. There was a rumour of it, but nothing ever came of it until you told me, yeah, there's a TV movie, and I thought, oh, so they actually got around to doing one, and you said, yeah. So I thought, well, I suppose it'd be a good cap to that part of my childhood, really, a nice ending, I suppose. So I thought I'd give it a go, because you can only download it. I believe it was broadcast here in Britain, but, well, I've not watched Cartoon Network since I was a kid, so naturally I wouldn't have known if it was on either way. But, I don't know. I just wanted to watch this as a way of just saying, this is going to be the end of a part of my childhood, the way of saying, yep, one final goodbye, I suppose you could say, a good send-off.
I think that what I have to agree on is with the whole him not even being aware, because if I wasn't still obsessed with the show, I mean, I'm 20 years old and I'm still obsessed with this show, I wouldn't even know there was a movie. What pissed me off at that time is that it was finished. Danny Antonucci, the creator, writer, you know, all the good stuff, basically the head macho of Ed, Edd n Eddy, he would usually send messages out to fans whenever they would ask questions. He loved his fans. He even had a Facebook. So I remember reading that it was done. It was having screenings at a few festivals. Like, it never went out theatrically, but it was shot in HD, and it was able to go out in shipments of film.
It's a TV movie, but it is made in widescreen.
Yes, which is hopefully now will be a standard with, you know, the rise of HD television. But what I remember reading is that it was airing on Cartoon Network in other countries. It was airing in Scandinavia, Australia, the UK, and we didn't get it until, like, the very last, and I have no idea why. I think the main thing was Cartoon Network had the print, but was holding on to it for a long time, because it was done since, let's see, I think this aired 2010 over here, and it was done in 2008. It was completed in 2008, and it was going around festivals in other parts of Cartoon Network.
So should we classify this as an 2008 film or a 2010 film?
I'd call it 2008, because that's when it was finished, that's when it was going out, but I guess if, because the thing is, it's complex, because over there, I think you got it 2009, we got it 2010, so really, I would just put this as X, because it's too many different years, it doesn't really have a set.
So the logic behind this film is, it's like Godzilla style, so in the year 2000X, a movie was played on Cartoon Network, you know, that kind of thing. Except this film doesn't
Pretty
feature
much.
Godzilla nor flying tokusatsu monsters, but that's besides the point. Although this film was probably as crazy as those kinds of films, if you get into it.
Well, yeah, definitely. I think the thing about what makes this show great is that, to go on with what you said about not knowing about it, most people, if they weren't fans like me and you, who weren't, you know, looking up the forums and keeping track, fans that are that dedicated wouldn't even know that it was made or even aired, because, like you said, not, you know, a lot of the old fans are not watching Cartoon Network anymore. I'm just one of the rare ones that still does on a regular basis.
Mind you,
but it is true. I mean, I think it would have done better if it went direct to video, because at least they could advertise online or whatever, and it could go out there. It's a shame that it still isn't on DVD.
Well, it could have worked in somewhat of a simultaneous release, much like that Dexter's Laboratory Ego Trip movie, which I do remember watching many years ago.
Yeah, I saw that. I remember finding that on cassette, but only seeing it when it aired on television. That's actually a pretty darn good movie, too. In fact, to think about it, I think Ed, Edd n Eddy is only the third or fourth cartoon to get a movie. There was Dexter's Ego Trip. There was the Powerpuff Girls movie, which I think was their only theatrical one.
Yeah, that was the only theatrical one, because I remember seeing the posters in British cinemas many years ago.
Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, Britain is the only place to have the film on DVD in widescreen, which is a shame, because that means I would have to import the goddamn thing. But I think the reason that's the only theatrical release film is it was not a box office success. It actually bombed over here in the U.S. Not sure how it did over in the U.K.
As far as I know, probably exactly the same. I don't remember anybody ever talking about it.
You know, I think what made that film with Powerpuff Girls a little more interesting is I believe, if memory serves well, that was the first theatrical film to be entirely animated in Flash, which is the program that I use to make the animated intros for people, especially you.
Naturally. And although, if we were to get into the actual film, I suppose if I was to describe the plot of Ed, Edd n Eddy's A Big Picture Show, it's essentially, it's mad world of the Ed, Edd n Eddy characters. That's pretty much what it is, albeit they have a slightly different objective. Where it begins with, the cul-de-sac appears to be completely deserted. In fact, there's some odd visual nods to other films I notice, again, deliberate or otherwise, I'm not so sure, but there's a scene where, in the middle where you see the empty cul-de-sac with everything completely wrecked, almost entirely destroyed, you see these ants crawl along this melted ice cream, and it resembles the ants eating the Beatles in The Wild Bunch. Don't ask me why I'm making a comparison between this and a Sam Peckinpah movie, but I don't know, I just had that impression.
I think that was actually intentional, because I believe Danny Antonucci's a fan of The Wild Bunch and Sam Peckinpah in general.
That would make sense, considering there was also multi-camera angle slow-motion shots at times, which I thought was very strange, and again, somewhat fitting. But the actual plot of the film is simple. Ed, Edd n Eddy have unleashed the biggest scam of all, so big, in fact, that we have no idea what it actually is. And now they're on the run, because everybody in the cul-de-sac essentially wants to have their hides. So they travel out of their way via incredibly convoluted methods, including via car, via building, via just every single method you could probably think of. They eventually escape the cul-de-sac and find themselves in the middle of nowhere. Eddie has the great idea and to find his older brother, essentially a character that is often mystified throughout the entire series. So the objective of the Eds is to find Eddie's brother and somehow dodge the rest of their kids on their way to this so-called personal fortune.
Yes, and I will say, to go with the whole Eddie's brother thing, this was a major thing for fans, because the major thing on forums and everything else was announcing that this will be the first unseen but mentioned character, because he was a recurring role being mentioned all the time, that we were actually going to get to see him. And that was the big build-up that I thought was very satisfying, because I think what makes this movie great, especially for diehard fans like me and you, is it basically answers so many questions that the series never answered and ties a little bow for it, like just ends the series on a good note. And it's a shame that the series had to end, but if it had to end either way, I'm glad they ended it like this.
Essentially, I suppose if I was to talk about this film in any other way, it's essentially a kiddified version of the Inbetweeners movie, because both actually follow a somewhat similar pattern in terms of how the characters interact and the kinds of things they get up to, albeit Ed, Edd n Eddy, of course, it's to do with scams. Inbetweeners is obviously down to teenage sexual repression and that kind of stuff. So, for me, watching this, it again is like a way of ending that those characters' stories, and it's nice to go back to my childhood and see these characters one last time, in a way. I mean, granted, I'm not the kind of person who says he grows out of things, but looking back on this film and the series in general, it does remind me of when I was a young kid and I used to be obsessed with this show, and I'm sure if this came on many years ago, I would have loved it. As such, I just think it's a fun little ending. I mean, it is what it is. It's a cartoon TV movie.
And again, it's a shame that it had to be a TV movie, because if they announced this was going to DVD tomorrow, I would be first in line to pick it up. Because I saw it before everyone else, because luckily there were fans out there who decided to release it on YouTube in parts when countries like Scandinavia and Australia got it before us. So kudos to those people, whoever you are, thank you. So I got to see this movie about three times, because the last time being the official airing. I didn't know better, but I always thought a rating, like how many times people watch something, is how many times it's on in a television. So I turned every working television in my house onto that same channel, because I wanted this to basically be released on DVD, but I didn't know that that doesn't count.
Yeah, I suppose. But I think one of the things we've got to talk about with the film is in your opinion, is there a massive difference in animation from the TV show?
Well, I'd say no, because as any TV show, the more seasons you get, a bigger budget you get, therefore animations change. This is the animation style they've been using since the Christmas special, when they officially got a boost in budget and started using digital painting instead of traditional painting. Like, it's still traditionally animated, but it's touched up with computers as usual. Because the older seasons looked a little more tinted, I guess you could say, because they were all done traditionally the old-fashioned way. But now everything looks a little more cleaner, a little more nicer, a little more HD. So I wouldn't say, I would say the only difference between this movie and the TV show is that it's the only product in the franchise in widescreen.
Yeah, I would agree. There isn't that much of a difference in the animation style. Then again, it doesn't matter all that much because the character movement is fluid in its own kinetic, bizarre way. Everyone still gets trapped in the same weird bodily machinations. There's still weird details that you spot if you have a keen eye. Some stuff I do like, which I also miss from the show, is when you'd see those little details. So, for example, there is a set piece in which the three Eds end up in this discontinued or disused joke shop or joke factory in this case. And they see things which have missing price tags on them, always little details. It's a very clear animation style because you can always see words or things. They're never jumbled up. It's never weird English or something. So it gives the world a little bit of personality to it, which I do enjoy.
Well, I always loved with cartoons like this is that I always loved knowing that the team, the animators, the illustrators, you know, all that stuff, were always kind of like a family. So, like, they loved doing what they were doing, they loved doing it, and you could always tell that in the way it's done, because there's so much love put into this. Like, they didn't do this just because they were, you know, under contract or anything. They wanted to do this.
And it clearly shows. It's a film with passion in it, because it has almost perfect pacing for a TV movie. It's under an hour and a half, and it doesn't skimp on any of the weird, crazy set pieces that you'd expect out of the show. I mean, just the beginning alone is literally just wall-to-wall characters running around, bashing each other through doors, and in some cases it's oddly gory, if you think about it. When the scam goes wrong at the very beginning, you see characters hurt so badly that chunks of them are missing.
Yeah, that was that was actually very interesting to me. I think what makes the film interesting is, like you said, you know, we never know what the scam is, but it's slightly, like, there's slight hints, but you never know exactly. Like, the only hint we know is that it all went wrong because Eddie pressed a red button. That's all we know, really. That's the only thing we're ever given about this enormous scam that went so wrong that now basically they want their
heads. I think it makes it funnier, considering some of the episodes, the weird elaborate scams they had beforehand, creating their own cinema, their own city out of cardboard boxes. And one of my personal favourite moments, where they make a theme park with giant metal and cardboard box-covered dinosaurs. That's one I particularly remember. Or just weird shit like that. So you think to yourself, okay, what could they have possibly done this time? Did they make a museum which featured a homemade nuclear bomb? Did it have... God knows, I have no idea, but it does make it all the more amusing for what it is, because of the ridiculously exuberant circumstances that would happen in the average television episode.
I think the only thing, because I think the thing about it is that fans to this day are still trying to put together pieces and figure out what that scam was, which I always like. It's always nice to have fans that are still this dedicated to have their own ideas and opinions on things. I will say my idea, only because of what I pieced together, is I believe it had to do with barber shop stuff. For my reason for that being, as you notice, Naz is missing hair, and I believe something with Rolf. I don't remember what happened to him. But I always assumed, as watching, I was thinking, did it have something to do with cutting hair or just beauty salon in general?
No,
Because that was my
no idea. I mean, again, with the chunks missing from the characters and the multitude of razors, it's a possibility. Or again, I have no idea. I like it, the way it just goes completely ambiguous. It's just a nice little plot device to say we don't know what's happened, but this is where how we can get onto the main plot, which is of course them looking for Eddie's titular older brother.
And since we're on that, I have to know, what was your reaction when they had the, spoilers, big reveal of Eddie's brother?
I expected it, to be honest, because the character design in general, again, spoilers, is essentially just an older, douchebaggier version of Eddie, and honestly, I expected that. So, you know, it was a nice way of saying, yep, I was right all along, I expected this sort of thing. And the fact that he was literally just a dude who hung around at a theme park. In fact, he appeared to be the person who ran the theme park, inexplicably, living in what appeared to be a whale-shaped trailer. Yeah, he's definitely living the good life, I suppose you could say. What good life you could get out of Ed, Edd n Eddy.
And one thing I have to point out is, like we were talking about movie references, the theme park, I believe, is called Mondo Agogo.
Yeah, that's got to be some reference to Psycho Agogo, surely.
It's actually a reference to a film called Monster Agogo, which is a...
Oh yeah, Monster Agogo, okay. I'm getting confused with Psycho Agogo, which I think was used to make... weren't both movies used to make Blood of Ghastly Horror that... I can never remember the director... Oh, God, what's the director of that movie's name? Oh, shit, he's on the tip of my tongue. Not Juan Bacuas Simone, that's the Spanish guy. Either way, yeah, it's bizarre to think that Danny Antonucci is like, okay, I'm making a kid's cartoon, but I'm going to put in the most bizarre, obscure visual references. I mean, again, for all we know, they could have been completely coincidental, but I don't know, I don't feel they are.
No, I don't feel they are either, and I think Danny Antonucci knows that, because, believe it or not, because Ed, Edd n Eddy's general fanbase is not really... kids, it's people our age and older, because it seems to a lot of, that's what was different about Cartoon Network back then, is that anybody could watch it, adults could watch it and enjoy it. My father was a big fan of Cartoon Network. He loved all the program because he thought it was well written, well done humor, and he could enjoy it with his kids. And I miss that with cartoons now. I mean, there are a few, you know, exceptions now. I mean, there's a few shows out there that, at least I think, like, if I had a kid, I'd be watching them with them, and I'd still be enjoying myself. Like Adventure Time, I think, is one of the best shows airing right now. And, you know, there's even reboots that I'm even surprised are actually pretty damn good, like The Looney Tunes Show and Transformers Prime, and yes, My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic, I Am a...
I was actually just about to mention that, because of course you say that Cartoon Network shows like this have far more of an adult audience. Well, so does a lot of the recent Hasbro stuff.
Likely so, because a lot of the, you know, people who grew up with the original products are now well in their 30s and 20s. So I think it's actually a smart move to do a reboot and have it so that, you know, a new generation of kids can enjoy it, but also have it be good enough for older generation fans to be able to re-enjoy it with their kids. I think that's the best way to do a reboot. Like, don't just remake something and then just, you know, don't like, you know, do like Psycho or Nightmare on Elm Street, where you're just going to remake every scene. Just bring back the characters, keep them, like, essentially the same, but, you know, give them a few things, you know, to make them fit in our new generation. But make it slightly different, because that way you don't see everything coming. You make it, you know, you make it original. You make every, you know, you don't predict everything. That's what's great about what I think for the Looney Tunes Show, is because it's basically the Looney Tunes and Seinfeld. And I don't know if you have it over there in the UK. I would assume you would by now, because we're well in, like, episode 20.
Well, I have no idea. Again, I haven't really looked on kids' channels lately, because I don't watch them anymore. But, again, maybe we do. Again, the thing is, the schedules between America and the US are so different when it came to cartoon shows, even back when I was constantly watching Cartoon Network and Nickelodeon back in the day. Although, getting back to the film for a bit, though... is there any particular set piece you found the most enjoyable or the most bizarre that stood out for you? Because there were a couple of key ones. I did like the whole set piece at the end where everything is resolved, but then you have weird moments like the giant duck boat, or indeed the whole beginning with Eddie's car, where Ed decides, okay, we've got to save ourselves, so we don't know how to drive, but I'm going to slam my feet through the bottom of the car and just run with the car on top of me. Ed, bless his heart.
To answer your question, it's funny because you actually named all three of my favorite set pieces, and for the same reasons as I think what makes the beginning scene and the last scene, I think, are the most pivotal to me, because it's hard to describe, but as a kid, when you think to yourself, I'm watching the movie, like, do anything, like, if, you know, when I was a kid and I saw SpongeBob, I was like, oh my god, I'm watching this on the big screen, you know, this is epic, this is big. What's important to that, at least from a kid's point of view, or someone who's 20 years old and still has the brain and heart of a kid, you gotta make it bigger, you gotta make it epic, you gotta give it that oomph. And in the case of the beginning and the end of Ed and Eddie, they do that perfectly, especially, like you said, the key scene where Ed just basically pushes his feet and drives the car Flintstone style. Because the whole idea of the Eds being in a car, the whole idea of it is groundbreaking to me, because, you know, you'd never imagine these kids driving. They always wanted to. They always, you know, had their cardboard cars and pretended to be in cars, but they were never actually, I know it's not exactly driving, but it's pretty damn close. But in that case, it's true to Ed's character, who we all have grown to love. I think he's almost everyone's favorite character. He's just that lovable.
Well, when I was a kid, I have to admit, I used to impersonate Double D by putting a black beanie hat on my head and trying to gel my hair somewhat unsuccessfully. Well, the stupid things you do when you're 8 years old.
When I was a kid, I remember just doing an Ed impression with my voice, and in elementary school, kids coming up to me and asking me to do the voice, because to them, I did it very well. But I think the one, I noticed a lot of people are disappointed with one thing in this movie. I have to mention it. I'm not disappointed with it, but everyone else is. The fact that we did not reveal what's under Double D's hat.
I assume just it's like a massive spot or just severe acne, and he's just trying to hide it.
I always just thought he was bald and he was self, hating about that, because, you know, they've implied what it is. I think the only good hint we got was actually this movie where Ed says, "Does it hurt, Double D?" And we're thinking, is it some kind of deformity under there? It could be anything, but I think why I like that they didn't reveal it is because I think Danny wanted it to continue to be a secret to drive us crazy.
Well, that and...
Because he knows it's like the biggest secret of the entire series, is that what's under that hat, we'll never know.
Well, as I've stated before, this film is very much an animated equivalent to something like It's a Mad, 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 Mad World, what with different intentions with the characters. And of course, much like that film, it's not exactly real time, it's not emulated in that style. However, it does have, of course, the back and forth between characters, venturing on the same paths, of course, crisscrossing at different intervals, etc. And much like It's a Mad, 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 Mad World, it decides to essentially overemphasize a lot of the aspects and traits of these characters to the 11th degree. I mean, you look at the three Eds in particular, and they take the characters that, of course, you understand their personalities because you've watched over 100 episodes of these characters. So let's actually advance them even further so that they're now actually at the breaking point of their personalities. Of course, Double D being a geek and ridiculously OCD and particularly sensitive to his friends being in trouble. Ed getting so worried to the point where even then he stops worrying, and then goes back to worrying again at the slightest hint of anything, but perhaps is even more bizarre with his turns of phrases. Seriously, some of the stuff that he and Double D in particular say were just absolutely weird, convoluted speech, which I don't really hear in a lot of animated films. You hear some words that even I've never heard in quite a lot of films, especially in kids' films, so I was just sitting there going, wow, they actually found that word to put in the script? Huh. And Eddie in particular, because of course you know him, he's the egotistical character of the three, to see him break down as he does at the end is somewhat refreshing for a kid's film, especially given the fact that the morals about friendship, etc. are exactly the same as in the aforementioned Inbetweeners film.
Yeah, and I have to comment on the whole usage of strange words. I think that just shows how well thought out this script is. Like, this wasn't, like I said before, this wasn't just slapped together because they were legally obligated to. This, like we said before, was done out of love. They wanted to do this. This is a project they wanted to do. They were passionate about it. And it shows, especially in the writing, because, the like you said, the use of words that even I had never even heard of. And, you know, the fact that, at least in my perspective, the conversations are almost, you know, real. Like, you could, you know, like, these are, like, real people. They're having actual conversations. You can believe the words they're saying.
I would...
Like, you know, it's a cartoon, but, like, you could still relate to these characters, still feel emotion for them, still just want... You want to watch them, you know, reach their goal.
Because, again, they're just so bizarre, strange, and what they get up to is so insanely kinetic and fast-paced that you can't help but not stop to follow. You just literally just go with the flow, because the film never really stops for anything. After one character does something, it will immediately switch to another character doing once again their own crazy shtick. I mean, the stuff that Rolf does alone with the weird steampunk telescopes, which are within chest with emblazoned, apparently, German names because of the ridiculous amounts of umlauts, his pig Wilfred essentially being a cannibal eating sausages. Just weird moments like that really stick out and had me going, wow, I forgot how batshit insane this show was.
Well, I just love the fact, like, you know, they didn't change the style of humor, which I always said, like I said before, that's what made Ed, Edd n Eddy stand out to me as a show. Like, that's why that's the show I was more passionate about than any other, because it was so different, it was so unique. And, I guess I have to say, to comment, because it is one of my all-time favorite movies, I love that you actually compared the stories, plot line almost identical to It's a Mad, 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 Mad World, which I could actually see that. I didn't think about it. But like you said, you know, a different goal. It's not money. It's you know, it's technically two different goals. It's Ed's trying to go find Eddie's brother and everyone else going after the Eds. But I can definitely see your connection, because now I can see it in my head. It's, you know, like you said, they cut back and forth between characters. And the whole plot basically takes place in about, you know, a 2 days. Which I think is, you know, we don't see a lot of movies that take place between 2 days. Hell, we'd be lucky to find a movie that takes place in one day.
That and the elaborate slapstick, I thought, was somewhat of a dead giveaway for the humor within It's a Mad, 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 Mad World.
Now, it makes me question whether or not, because, you know, we made so many, you know, comparisons to homages to other movies, I wonder if Danny Antonucci got inspiration from It's a Mad, 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 Mad World for this movie's plot. It wouldn't shock me. In fact, I almost want to ask him on Facebook if he had any inspiration from that movie, for not even just this TV movie, but even possibly the series in general, because it clearly shows he has to at least be a Three Stooges fan, because there's a lot of that style of humor in this, a little more extreme, but it's still the inspiration is clearly
that
there.
And within this film, there is like two moments of metatextual humor where, of course, you see a part when they go into Eddie's brother's room and they find the thing saying, in case of movie, break glass, to which they actually find the car key, which doesn't really work in their favour. And there's the line where Double D says, oh great, we found where we need to go, after about 130 episodes, 4 specials and 1 movie later.
Yes, that's one thing that Ed and Eddie was known for, is they were always breaking the fourth wall. Even an episode, I remember a particular episode where they did a callback to when Eddie would teach Jimmy how to be a scammer. And they did a recall to that episodes later, and even imply that episode, because Double D says, remember, you did teach everything you know. And Eddie, of course, goes, that's right, didn't we win an Emmy for that episode? Of course they didn't, I don't even think it was nominated. But the fact that, you know, they would always break that wall and be constantly aware that they're on a television show, I always thought was funny, because there weren't a lot of shows that were doing that either. Really, it's almost as if I'm bashing the other Cartoon Network shows. I'm really not. It's just this one I thought was the best of all, like, what, 20 of them?
Yeah, there was a whole bunch produced just for Cartoon Network. I mean, obviously you had the works of Jendy Tartakovsky and Craig McCracken and those kinds of people too. And again, within this movie, again, there's a ton of callbacks to previous episodes. I mean, there's just that one sequence alone where Double D and Eddie have these leaves on a web, inexplicably, which says, hey, we did this because there was the stink bomb, there was the car, there was this, and it all relates back to your brother. And I'm thinking, callbacks to episodes from, like, season 1 or 2 or whatever I could possibly remember.
Yeah, like, I think they made reference to the hot sauce, too, if I'm
Yeah, the
mistaken.
Armenian hot sauce, which I can't actually remember where that's from in the show, but again, that must be some ways back.
The Armenian hot sauce... The Armenian hot sauce was in the Haunted House episode, which is actually one of my all-time favorites, and glad that's on DVD, because because the first 2 seasons are available, but the rest of the seasons are not available in this country. You got to get them from Thailand, but they are region free, so anyone can buy them and watch them.
Yeah, apparently, according to as well, those DVD versions aren't actually bootlegs, they were official Asian releases.
They are, because they actually have... Like, the speculation was that it was a bootleg, but as it turned out, like you said, it is official license from Cartoon Network, but only in Thailand. So, although I'm holding off on getting those bootlegs because I have received some information from Warner themselves that apparently the rumor is they are working on more releases for Ed, Edd n Eddy. It's not quite clear if it's more seasons or if it's more compilations, but in either way, I will still buy them to support releases of more, because we've got so many shows that are being finished on DVD with the whole Warner archive. I wouldn't be surprised if we at least got the last, three seasons and the movie as burn-on-demand DVDs off their site. I'd buy them. I really would. I'd spend $500 just to have the last of the series, because it's something I love. I want to keep with me for generations until I die, give it to my children, because I don't want Ed and A to ever go away. I want it to stay in the continuity of...
Well, it's nice to see that kind of passion, because when I was a kid, my entire family absolutely despised me watching the show. They absolutely hated it whenever I'd mention it, whether at the dinner table or beg them to record new episodes while I was at junior school. It was one of those things. Well, I was surprised your family actually enjoyed the show, because my family didn't get it at all. My brother would constantly make fun of me for watching it, and my parents would be completely just bamboozled as to why I enjoyed it. Of course, not much really changed over the years when, of course, I got into other things, although my parents did have a lot of respect for me for getting into shows like, say, Robotech when I was 13, because of my obsession with collecting everything for that, and the original Japanese shows which made that. Again, that's... I went in different segments with my childhood with certain things I became absolutely obsessed with. The first obsession I suppose I really had was with the shows of Gerry Anderson, and then after that a lot of the shows on Cartoon Network and CNX, which was Toonami here in the UK when it was under a different title for a little while. And then of course it was other anime like Akira, Ghost in the Shell, the shows that made Robotech, Canon Golden Globes. I just went in different segments and stages when I was a kid, and Ed and Eddy was a massive stage of that. I had two best friends at that time, and we essentially considered ourselves the real-life Ed, Ed, and Eddy, because we had one who was dumb, one who was smart, myself, and then there was the other guy who organized everything. So I had that personal connection, which made it all the more special to me as a kid, and when I got older, and of course no one talked about the episodes anymore, I abandoned it. Hell, I used to read fucking fan fiction based on the show, and the fan fiction of this show was just fucking bizarre. I mean, you had Warhammer crossovers, you had crossovers with Resident Evil, of all things, I distinctly remember. There was a lot of weird shit that the authors would put out. Obviously, I don't know if half of that even exists anymore, or whether it was some kind of bizarre fever dream I thought up when I was 8 years old and first discovered the internet, but there was a fan base, a devoted one. And, to watch this movie, it's a nice way of capping that off, to go, yep, now that this part of my childhood is now over, it is done, it is complete in a way.
And it's kind of like the end to a generation storybook, basically, at least in my eye. And I will have to mention, because, yes, those fan fictions were real. I actually read a couple of them. I still remember a lot of them. A lot of them were very, very strange. Like, this is before, the real dawn of, memes, I guess you could say.
Yeah, this was back when everyone was using GeoCities websites.
Pretty much. This is 2001, even 98, when we had dial-up, for Christ's sake. So this is before things like that became commonality, like furries and strange. There wasn't a site dedicated for this yet, because there is a site called fanfiction.net now, but back then you just had to go to fan sites and you would find what they called fan stories or fan whatever, and there were just these short stories that fans would come up with. Some of them were strange, some of them were homoerotic, some of them were, like you said, strange crossovers. It was really bizarre, but in a way it kind of shows dedication, but it's a very secluded section of the fan base that I don't want to get into, because it's weird.
Again, the fan art, there was always fan art of the Space Marine ones where Ed, Edd n Eddy and the characters were Space Marines in various parts of the Warhammer 40,000 Empire, and then there was the list, which I found all the fanfiction, which had a list with artists' pictures of what all of the weird new characters looked like. And as a kid, I loved it, because I was like, oh my god, it's like adding to the universe or whatever, but I look back on it now and I just remember it's just, wow, fans of this show were fucking mental, apparently, and I was one of them. But it's a part of my childhood I love thinking back on, because you'd think half of those websites, in fact all of those websites, probably no longer exist, and I probably don't even have the contact details of those people anymore. But you know, it made an impact, what can I say? And this movie, I mean, I know we've not discussed the movie very much, but the movie, in essence, is an extended television episode. You know what's going to happen, really. You know there's going to be a lot of set pieces. It's just a nice setup for seeing the characters one last time doing their shtick before it's all closed for good. I mean, okay, Macross Demon Beloved, this ain't, but then again, what is? It's a cartoon TV movie that's a nice little finale. It is what it is, and what it is simple, good old-fashioned slapstick fun. From Canada.
Yeah, and again, like, you know, if you are a fan, this is the movie for you. It was made for you, it was made because of you, and you owe it to yourself to see it. You can find it on, it appears periodically on YouTube. You can download it through sites like Mega Upload. Hell, if you're really hardcore and you have the dough, you can order it on iTunes for $5.99 uncut, I believe, and in full HD quality. It's the closest thing to, like, a physical licensed release, because we don't have a DVD, we don't have a Blu-ray. Foreign countries don't even have this available on home video anywhere, so the closest we have, if you want to own it in a very nice quality without a logo, you have to buy it off iTunes. I plan to, because I love the show, and if I have to, I will download this, burn it onto a disc, make my DVD myself, because I'm not going to be without this movie. I need this movie in my collection, I need this in my life, because I think there's not going to be anything else quite like it. I can't imagine anything taking Ed, Edd n Eddy's place. They have taken their spot in this world, and they're not going to go away.
Well, for a long time, wasn't it the longest running original Cartoon Network show, period?
It still is. To this day, Ed, Edd n Eddy is still the longest-running Cartoon Network show. And I think what makes that work is because of how many times the show had to be put on hiatus. Because, as we know, kind of like Ren and Stimpy had, Ed, Edd n Eddy required much more time to create because of its unique style. I mean, that requires a lot of money, a lot of time, and time, at that time, Cartoon Network did not have, because their basic idea was to create as many cartoons as they can in very short time. Kind of like most cartoon stations during the 90s and early 2000s, is, you know, crank it out, release.
Well,
it.
As someone who really wants to get into animation, I'm glad you know these things, because I admittedly know very little about American animation during this recent period.
Well, as an animator, I have to say is that Ed, Edd n Eddy was like... as a kid, Rocco and Ren, those two, because they were often together on Nickelodeon, those two were, like, the ones that got me into art and animation in general. I was like, I want to do that. Ed, Edd n Eddy was, like, the selling point. When I was a kid, I was like, okay, this is something I want to do. This is something that I'm going to get passionate into. I will do this, you know, I don't know if I would do it for a living. I love doing animation, you know, as most people know with, you know, the intros I've done, you know, probably up to like 40 or 50 now. You know, I love doing intros. I love doing animations. I've got projects I've written that I'd love to, you know, start animating someday, you know, when I have time, because, you know, now I'm a grown man. I have a job. I have things to do. But, you know, eventually I'd love to get back into, like, independent animation and, you know, make things like Ed, Edd n Eddy, make things like Ralph Bakshi's work, you know, things like that, because it's something I always loved. I always wanted to recreate and try, you know, hell, if I wanted to, I'd even try and pitch it to networks, because I miss shows like Ed, Edd n Eddy. The only show that comes close to being as good as Ed, Edd n Eddy, it's not the same style of humor, but as close as just being a good show, Adventure Time is pretty damn good.
Yeah, I mean, I look at it this way. I honestly thought this film was never going to be made. You know, I was a very hopeful child, waiting and waiting and waiting for news, and it never came. So, as I grew up, Ed, Edd n Eddy sort of grew up and left with me. But it was nice to return to this, you know, a part of my childhood. It was a nice little pang of nostalgia. It was an entertaining, watchable little bit of film. I enjoyed it for what it was, so that's a chapter on my childhood completely closed, and that's really what I think of the movie. It's that part of my childhood. It's over now. I can move on, but at least I know it exists. At least I know somewhere out there, Danny Antonucci was like, you know what? There's a few people waiting out there who wanted to film. Let's make it. Why not?
And I'm glad that he did that. And to this day, I think I remember just watching the YouTube cut and seeing the opening credits and just having the biggest smile on my face, because I was just thinking to myself, I'm watching this now. like, I'm almost 20 years old. I'm watching Ed, Edd n Eddy, the full-length movie.
Yeah, you know.
And like you said, you know, I didn't think it was ever going to get made either, because this was rumored in, like, 2005, I think. This was just a rumor they were going to do a movie. And at the time, it was supposed to be theatrically released. But again, because of the Powerpuff Girls movie, that made Cartoon Network change their minds about almost all their movies. Because I think they've done more than this, but a lot of them were supposed to be theatrically released. But because Powerpuff Girls, unfortunately, none of those were ever going to get a theatrical run. And we'll probably never see another... Unless somebody makes a live-action remake of any of their old programming, we're never going to see another theatrical Cartoon Network movie. I really don't see
that. That's very much true. And I suppose that ends our show for tonight. If you want to get into contact with us, as always, of course, you can comment on the Welcome to the Brain Palace homepage. You can contact us via Facebook, our requisite YouTube channels, and send us an email at thebrainpalace@gmail.com.
And like he said, with all that, always, for this episode specifically, I want to know how many listeners are at Ed Nation. I really would like to know, because I'd like to think, you know, was this episode, you know, something that made you happy? Were you glad to know that we actually are Ed fans? I just want to know if this is the episode that you were, as a fan, really happy about listening to.
And, of course, as a little bonus to that, yes, I know, we've been somewhat inconsistent in releasing episodes. We did the Halloween special, obviously, and then we did this. But from now on, we are going to try and keep to a regular schedule this time. We're just still thinking of ideas for films we want to talk about and taking in turns and all that jazz as we've done before. So don't worry, everything will get back to a regular schedule soon enough.
And we hope, at least I hope, because I like it. I think, you know, I just hope that this episode was a good, you know, waiting period, because I think it was worth it. I think it was different, and I hope you all enjoyed
it. Yeah, I mean, it was a good change of pace. You get to talk about an animated movie again, because the last animated film we talked about was Macross, about quite nearly 10 episodes ago. And, of course, it was a television film as well, again, something that wasn't released theatrically or indeed direct-to-video. So, again, a good change of pace, I think.
And before we keep on rambling, I'm officially known as Chris.
And I'm InvidNinja92, otherwise known as Ollie.
And I hope you enjoyed the podcast, and like he said, we'll be back shortly with a good schedule.
Bye-bye.